Today, I want us to think about flourishing in faith, the transformative power of God's word. And we're going to explore the profound wisdom that's found in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 17, verses 7 and 8. It's a passage that offers timeless truths for our Christian journey. But blessed are those who trust in the Lord and have made the Lord their hope and confidence. They are like trees planted along a riverbank, with roots that reach deep into the water. Such trees are not bothered by the heat or worried by long months of drought. Their leaves stay green and they never stop producing fruit. It's a wonderful scripture. And as we delve into it, we will uncover the transformative truth of God's word and the promise that we can flourish despite life's challenges, despite the circumstances, the situations that might press in on us. We can truly flourish in the Lord. So first point, trust in the Lord, which is the first part of Jeremiah 17:7. But blessed are those who trust in the Lord and have made the Lord their hope and confidence. The prophet Jeremiah, he paints a vivid picture for us of the blessings that are bestowed upon those who trust in the Lord. But the key is actually trusting in the Lord wholeheartedly. God doesn't call us to have a half-hearted faith. He doesn't call us to be lukewarm in the way in which we trust him. In everything that we do, in every circumstance, we are to be confident in our God. We're to be confident in what he's doing in our lives. He is the only one that we can have hope in, the only one that we can have confidence in. He alone has sovereignty in our lives. We live in a country which, I suppose, politically is quite stable. We live in a country where violence doesn't happen like other places in the world. And yet, we need to be thankful for the protection that God affords us in this land. All it takes is a car going too fast for someone to be taken out of existence. Not taking notice as we walk across the road. There are things that we can do to actually ignore the circumstances or the situations that are going on around us. Do you ever feel like you're walking through life with blinkers over your eyes? You're so busy staring forward that you've got no idea what's going on either side of you. And in our lives, we should be so focused on the Lord that he is the primary focus of what we do. We should be focusing on the cross and what Christ accomplished for us there. But we shouldn't be so focused on our Lord that we ignore the others around us that need us to be salt and light, that need to see the love of God reflected in our lives. There are many Christians that I know that are very good at being good Christians, very good at being religious, very good at appearing to trust the word of God in everything. But once they're outside the four walls of the church, well, that seems to just dissolve. And their lives are not lives of those that would demonstrate that they trust God in every circumstance and situation. And sometimes it's difficult to trust. Sometimes we have been hurt. Sometimes we've been in pain. Sometimes something has happened that causes us to shift our focus away from God. And we stare at the circumstance. We stare at the situation. And it's in those times that we need to turn back to the Word of God, to turn back to the source of truth in our lives and be obedient to the Word of God. But sometimes that's difficult, isn't it? I'm sure that there are times in all of our lives when we've struggled, that there have been times when it's been difficult, that there's been times when we've only looked directly at what's in front of us and we've ignored the fact that God is actually busy and active and doing something. Because all we see is the problem. When we trust God, we trust him with everything. All of our lives. Every moment of every day. As Charles Stanley has stated, trusting God means looking beyond what we can see to what God sees. Have you ever seen a carnival procession that goes past in the roads? I mean, for many years at Ashendon, there was a multitude of floats that went past, but if you've seen the parades that they have in the US for seemingly any reason whatsoever, with the cheerleaders and the bands and the ticker tape raining down, If you're standing there in the crowd and you're looking, you'll only see the part of the parade that's in front of you. But from God's perspective, looking down, he sees everything, the beginning and the end. He knows exactly what's coming long before anyone that's just observing from the side. And in our own lives, we only see in part now. The Apostle Paul refers to it in one place as seeing through a glass darkly. But one day everything will be revealed. One day we will know everything. We will understand why this happened, why that happened. For now, we need to trust God in what we see. Psalm 9 verse 10 says, "Those who know your name trust in you, for you, O Lord, do not abandon those who search for you." And that's a wonderful truth, isn't it? I'm sure in our own lives there was that time when we often talk about how we found God. But the truth is, God found us. He's the one who stepped in. He's the one who reached down. He's the one who rescued us from our darkness, from our sin, and brought us into a relationship with him. Yes, we had to repent. Yes, we had to turn to him and accept him as Lord and Saviour. But in many ways, we just responded to him asking us to trust him. And maybe there are times in our lives when we actually need to revisit how we first came to the Lord. The testimonies that we have to remember how we once lived before we knew him and how he has brought us out of darkness and how we live for him now. I mean, these verses from Psalm 9, they really speak volumes about the relationship between God and us. The relationship that comes about because we trust in him. And it emphasizes that those who truly know the character and nature of God will naturally place their trust in him. We know that God is faithful. We know that he loves us. We know that he is sovereign. We know that he will lead us along the paths of righteousness. We can have a deep-seated trust in him in every aspect of our lives. And when we seek him earnestly, he never leaves us. He never forsakes us. And that really reinforces the truth that our trust in God is well-founded, that we are secure in God. Whatever circumstances may be in our way, whatever may be going on in the world right now, we are secure in Christ. And that's an incredible blessing. Second point, rooted in God's word. The middle part of Jeremiah 17, 7 and 8. They are like trees planted along a riverbank with roots that reach deep into the water. Jeremiah here is comparing the faithful trees to us, to believers, symbolizing the importance of being rooted and grounded in God's word. I wonder, do you know how many times you've read the Bible in your life? Not just the occasional verse here and there, but how many times have you actually read it from cover to cover? I've met some Christians over the years who know certain verses. They've learned them off by heart. They can quote them, but they've never read the whole of the Bible. And that's dangerous. That's cherry picking what you believe. We need to understand the whole of God's word. The wonderful thing is there's commentaries, there's sermons, there's audio books. There is things to actually help us understand what we read, but we're meant to read it. I mean, quite often the Muslims are critical of Christians who don't know the word. They read their Quran, they will learn passage after passage. Christians don't seem to do that anymore. Yeah, we'll have a verse on the fridge, on the Pretty Little Magnet. We might have a verse stuck on the wall as a poster somewhere, but actually spending time systematically reading the word of God, that seems to be something that's fallen by the wayside. I think back to the Victorian era, before radio was invented, before television was invented, before so many distractions to get in the way. I mean, back then it was easy. Most people didn't read. They had to sing hymns and songs to actually learn doctrine, because they couldn't read it for themselves. But now we have some modern songs which don't really teach us anything. And yeah, they're nice melodies, and yeah, we can get quite excited as we sing them, but in many ways they feel just like we're singing some kind of Hare Krishna chant. the same repetitive verse over and over again, as if multiple repetitions of the same verse can somehow bring us closer to God. It doesn't work. In many ways, it actually dumbs down our Christianity, because we're no longer reading the words. Therefore, we don't have that foundation. We don't have that basis to actually build our trust in, which is why it's important that we get back to the word. We need to trust and obey the word of God. It was Billy Graham who said, "The word of God is the nourishment our souls need to thrive and bear fruit." The word of God, not singing a song multiple times, the actual word of God itself. There is no substitute. Sometimes in medical trials, they give a certain group of patients the actual medication and they'll give a placebo to the others. And in some cases, strangely, the people who take the placebo actually seem to get better, but they're not actually being cured. And we need the word of God to cure our minds, to cure our hearts, to actually align us with the will and the truth of God. Placebos won't do anything for us. Worship that has no direction, songs that have no depth, will not help us to draw closer to God. The Holy Spirit working in us and through us by the power of his word, that's what makes the change. It's only by trusting the truth of the word that God can actually help us to be spiritually nourished, can actually help us to learn the truth of who he is. Psalm 1 verses 2 and 3. "But they delight in the law of the Lord, meditating on it day and night. They are like trees planted along the riverbank, bearing fruit each season. Their leaves never wither, and they prosper in all they do." The modern prosperity movement has stolen this verse and tried to get it to mean something else. Prospering in God is all about our spiritual growth, our spiritual development, the way in which we live our lives. It's not about God opening up heaven and dropping gold and silver and cash in our laps. I read a frightening statistic yesterday that in America, 86% of people who go to church in America believe that God wants them to be financially wealthy. But God's never promised us that. He's promised us security in him. He's promised us blessing in him. He's promised us that he will never leave us or forsake us. He's promised us eternal life when we trust in him. But the prosperity gospel that's often preached, it's offering a lie, not the truth. But sadly, many who go to churches like that don't read the word of God for themselves and just expect that whatever's being said from the front must be true. The man or woman who's saying it is so charismatic, but it's not about the charisma of the person, it's about the character of God. And the character of God expects us to worship him in spirit and in truth, to trust him and him alone in everything. This passage in Psalm 1, it illustrates how blessed we can be when we delight in the word of God, when we think about it constantly. Quite often it's when they announce a new season or something on TV, there's so many people who are excited about what's going to happen. Will so-and-so have survived that terrible car crash at the end of the previous season? Will the person who lost everything suddenly regain it in the first episode, and then you wonder why there's another 22 episodes after it when the story seems to have already been finished? We wait with expectation for the things of the world, but do we have that same expectation when it comes to the Word of God? Many of you this morning have received a copy of Word for Today. Are you excited about how God may speak to you through that over the coming month? Or is it more of a, well, I'm awake, I suppose I better read something. I know I need to spend time in the Word of God. And if I use the Word for a day and I read just straight down the centre of the page, I can speed read it in about 30 seconds and that's it. I'm done. I don't need to spend any more time with God today. Friends, we shouldn't treat the Word of God in that way. Just as we allow time for our hobbies, allow time for our favourite TV programmes, allow time for, going to the bathroom, preparing food, we should, in our schedules, have time for the Word of God. Now, each of us may read different amounts at different times. Each of us may want to, you know, there are times when we just want to read something that's going to give us comfort, just to give us a thought for the day. But there are those times when we need to dig much deeper into the Word of God. I remember early on as a Christian, someone gave me a copy of Word for Today, and I literally read the full 30 readings in an hour and a half, maybe, hour. I thought, okay, well, what do I do for the rest of the month? Very early on in my Christian life, I used to read something called Louis Berkhof's Systematic Theology. I mean, it really is a cure for, if you ever have insomnia, it's one of those things that, you know, you could be out like a light within about 20 seconds. Or you can soldier on and actually learn some of the depth and the doctrine and some of the context about the Word of God. And when we learn the context, when we learn what's happening around it, it helps it to be more rooted in our lives. It helps to make it more real. There are passages in the Bible that are quite difficult to read. There are passages in the Bible that you think, well, why did God put that in there? Well, he's had a purpose in putting it in there. There was a reason. There's a reason why God goes into details that we think, well, why? It's because it underlines that what he's saying is true. I mean, think of some of those passages in the Bible where you read about all these ites, the Girgashites, the Hittites, and you think, who, where, why? And you could just ignore it at face value and just think, oh, it's a list of names I don't need to know about because in the 21st century, these lands are long gone. Or you could get out a Bible dictionary and look and see, well, okay, those people were there and these people were there. And the Bible dictionaries and concordances will tell you what those people believed and why God cautioned his children to stay away from certain places and certain things. Without the word being in context, we're only getting half the story. When we're grounded in the Word of God, we will flourish. When we understand the depth and the breadth of what God has done, it helps us to draw closer to him, to be more amazed and astounded and astonished at who he is and how he is active in people's lives. And a regular reading of the Bible helps nurture a deep-rooted faith in us so that when trials come, when troubles come along, we can stand on the Word of God and the promises of God and trust him in all things. Third point, flourishing despite adversity. The last part of Jeremiah 17, 7 and 8. Such trees are not bothered by the heat or worried by long months of drought. Their leaves stay green and they never stop producing fruit. Despite the challenges of life represented here by heat and by drought, those who are rooted, those who are grounded in God remain unshakable. We need to have a faith that will sustain us through trials. We need to have a faith that enables us to bear fruit. We need to have a faith that will flourish despite adversity. We don't know what tomorrow may bring, but God already does. And God equips us and enables us to stand firm in the fiercest of storms. And when we're going through a storm, all it takes is a single word from God to calm that storm. I'm sure in our own lives, each of us have been through situations and circumstances where our faith has been tested. But we've come through. We're here today. Why? Because God is a gracious God who loves us and cares for us. And we're not meant to ignore him. We're meant to learn of him. We're meant to be grounded. Rick Warren once said, "Faith doesn't eliminate trials, but provides the strength to endure them." And that's so true. When we have faith in one who is stronger than us, when we have faith in one who is bigger than us, when we have faith in the one who is omnipotent and able just to speak a word and change everything, we can have confidence in every situation that we're in. Because God is with us and he's caring about us. God is our strength. He is our best refuge in every situation, in every circumstance. Think about the promise of Isaiah 43, verse 2. When you go through deep waters, I will be with you. When you go through the rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. When you walk through the fire of oppression, you will not be burned up. The flames will not consume you. If you were going to print out a verse to stick on your fridge, may I suggest this one? There is so much in the Word of God that are promises that are actually relevant to us. Yes, some of the prophecies were purely for the people that they were given to. Some of the promises were relevant only to a select group of individuals. Now, the promise to Abraham and Sarah that they would bear a son when he was 99 years old. I'm not going to look at anyone in this room, but, you know, that's not necessarily a promise for you guys. But there are promises. There are promises that are relevant for us. There are commands that are relevant for each and every one of us. I mean, the promise, I will never leave you or forsake you. That's for all of us. The promise that we can trust in the Word of God. That's for all of us. But if we don't know the Word of God, how do we know what the promises are? This verse in Isaiah, it gives us comfort. It gives us assurance. It depicts God's unwavering presence with us. It shows his protection. As we go through trials, as we go through circumstances, as difficulties present themselves before us, God is with us. In the worst adversity that we could face, God promises to walk alongside us, to carry us through. It's a wonderful promise, isn't it? The promise that he is with us. Him being with us, that means that we're safe, that we're secure, that we're protected, because God is with us. We can trust God to sustain us. We can trust God even now with the situation that's happening in Israel to be at work. We can trust him that he is working out his purposes, even though man is trying to do his own thing. We can know that his strength is made perfect in our weakness. Perfect. God doesn't give us second best. God doesn't just drop a little bit of grace into our lives here and there. His grace overflows abundantly into our lives every single day. And we can trust him. In conclusion, these passages that we've looked at this morning, these verses that we've heard, they all highlight the transformative power of knowing and trusting in God. By delighting in his word, by meditating on it, by actually reading it day and night, we can learn the promises of God. We can experience spiritual growth. We can develop resilience. And we know that we have divine protection in every season of life. As you reflect on Jeremiah's words, commit to trusting in the Lord. Be rooted in the Word of God. And flourish in faith despite life's challenges. Know that God is able and God is willing. But we need to step out in faith. We need to step out in trust. We need to step out and believe that he is who he says he is. And friends, I pray that each of us will be like those trees firmly planted by the riverbank, standing firm, being nourished, permanently nourished by the word of God. That we would be changed, that we would be transformed, and that God would continue to reveal his truth to us in every aspect of our lives. Today, examine yourself before the Lord. Assess how much you actually trust in him and commit yourself to trusting him more and more, that every day you will draw closer to him and that you'll be willing to cultivate that vibrant relationship with him, knowing that he is faithful and able to sustain you in every season, in every trial, in every difficulty. Also, let me encourage you to commit to gaining a deeper understanding of his word. Don't be comfortable, don't be happy with just the occasional verse of scripture here and there. Commit yourself to systematically reading the Word of God, to hear his voice, to listen to what he has to say, accept his guidance and find comfort in his word. And when we do that, in every storm, in every situation, we will trust in our Lord. As we leave this place today, let's carry with us the assurance that God is faithful. And let's carry with us the assurance that everything that we read in God's word will help us to flourish in our faith, to grow closer to him, to be more Christ-like in our attitude and our actions. And let's face the challenges of this coming week with the unwavering faith and confidence in the God who is living, who speaks, who is active in our lives every single day. Let's be willing to be transformed. Let's be willing to be changed. And let's be willing to trust in our Lord and him alone. Let me pray. Father God, we thank you for your word this morning. We thank you for the truth in your word. And we pray that you will help us to apply it to our lives, to live it day by day, that we would trust the truth of who you are and trust the truth of your word. Help us, Lord, to share the truth with others, with those who are lost, with those who are heading for an eternity in hell away from you. Make us your mouthpiece, Lord, and give us the opportunity to share the message of the gospel, the truth of how people can be saved. And help us, Lord, to fix our eyes upon you and trust you in every circumstance and situation. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen.